pray for your anointing to be upon this service. God, we pray that you would just bless us in this time that we have together. Prayer requests this morning. Anybody have any prayer requests?
Run along.
No children's church.
Huh?
No children's church today.
No children's church. I'm sorry. Well, they normally have it, so.
This is the first of the month.
That's right. I forgot. We're certainly glad that Desiree was able to make it back after surgery this week. Had surgery Thursday, and she's right back today.
Amen.
She's a tough little lady. She had gallbladder surgery. Had a big stone in there that had to come out. And I'm sure that this is going to make her feel much better. We're glad to have also Paige's friend with us today. And he's a nice-looking gentleman, isn't he? Man. And then we have Wayne and Pam Cooper are here for the first time. Let's welcome them. Amen. They are looking for a home church. So I promise you, Wayne and Pam, we'll try to be at our best behavior today. And hopefully you'll come back. It's a good church, not because we're here, but it's a good church because it belongs to God. And we're just people that love God and appreciate Him and hope you enjoy the service this morning. I want to talk to you about a message this morning, at the end of the rope, the entire hope. Has anybody here ever felt like you were at wit's end? You had gone just as far as you could go. You really didn't know where to turn or what to do. Hopefully I can help you with that this morning with God's help. If you stand, we'll read you a few verses of Scripture, a couple of matter of fact, and I read these here recently several different times, but I want to use these just as a beginner, and we'll be reading some more verses of Scripture, hopefully with the Lord's help. In Philippians 3, 13 and 14, and this is the King James Version. This is what I normally read from, as you well know. Somebody asked me, said, why don't you use a different version of the Bible? I said, well, it took me a long time to get to know this one better. So I stick with what I know, and I do use I use reference and things from other Bibles, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. But, you know, we've got to use what we can use, right? Philippians 3 and 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. This is Paul's writing. In the next verse, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray before you're seated. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for those that chose to be in your house. I thank you, God, for the beautiful sunshine you provided us with and the rain, Lord, that you have given us. And I'm asking you this morning, God, that you help each person that's here. Lord, if these seem like they're at their wit's end, I know, God, that there's hope in you, and I hope you this morning and believe, God, that you'll help us to understand better how that we can reach forth even when this time comes. Bless each one that's here in the name of Jesus, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for standing for the reading of God's Word. What are we going to do when we come to the end of our rope? God has a plan, and His unseen hands can reach down lower than we might even imagine. Let me give you something a little bit humorous, but kind of makes sense. Did you ever hear about the little boy from the Alps of Switzerland? He would go out on the porch and yell, I love you, I love you. And in a few seconds, the words echoed back, "I love you. I love you." And he would feel so special, and he would do this several times a day. But one day, his mom corrected him, and in anger, he went out on the front porch, and he yelled in bitterness, and he said, "I hate you. I hate you." And then a little boy came back running and telling his mom, "The old man in the mountain told me he hated me." Well, what a lesson this little boy learned, because the echo came back exactly what he gave out. And a lot of times this is what happens to us. The echo comes back to us, whatever we dish out. So life might have a mere effect on us. Often the bottom line is to improve and to change. And this is birthed in your effect and your words. A teacher said one time, said, "When I started teaching, I was frustrated by the weaker students. An old teacher must have observed my frustration, and her name was Edith Watson, and she told me out in the hall, said, 'Mister,' without using his name, 'do you do your best and forget the rest?' Her word still rings in my ears, and I love to fix things, but I can't always fix it." We can't always fix it, church. We got to have help. Got to have God. I must learn to apply myself with the effect of trust and unseen hands of a mighty God. Quit looking backward and get it. Forget behind. For whatever's happened behind, forget it all. And get up and try again. You see, there's one thing about a quitter. They will never win if they stay a quitter. They've got to change. You can't just say, "I had a bad experience. Things went really bad, and I'm just throwing up my hands and I'm giving up. I'm not trying anymore." But you can't do it, folks. You've got to try again. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, and that we need to do our best. We can't continue to be faithful without real hope. Romans chapter 5 and verse 4 says, and patience, experience hope. So we need patience sometimes. And when I first became a Christian, I began to pray, "God, give me patience," because I was always a very impatient person. And then I got to realizing, Mary, there was a lot of things coming my way I didn't understand. I said, "Oh my goodness. Why has all this happened to me?" And then I read that verse of Scripture, and I found out that tribulations worketh patience. And what I was really doing was praying for tribulation, because I needed experience, and it's hands-on experience that I was receiving from God. And then after it began to happen, I began to cry out to God, "Well, why is this happening to me?" This is like we are sometimes, if we're not careful, folks. We get so carried away and thinking that everything ought to be just smooth sailing all the time. But there comes a time in our life that the rough seas is going to be something that we're facing. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be times that we don't understand the whole thing. But God is going to take care of it, and He'll bless us and help us if we'll allow Him to do so. Can you say amen? Do you ever hear about the blessing is he's expecting nothing? Here's what a lot of people say. They're saying, "Hey, I'm not expecting nothing." So if they're not expecting nothing, you know what they get? They get nothing. So we need to expect something. We need to have some hope. We need to understand God a little better. So did you ever see the need of self-improvement? Why, sure, we need self-improvement, right? We need to be improved. So if we'll realize that we're the sum total of our daily choices. Folks, you can wake up in the morning, you can decide if you're going to have a good day or a bad day. And you say, well, I have no control of it. Well, you might have more control than you think, because your attitude sets the pace for the entire day. Get up and say, I hope nobody don't say anything to me. Don't speak to me. This is the way a certain daughter that of ours used to be. Two of them was always getting up and jolly and all of this. And the one, don't speak to me. Don't talk to me. I hadn't got woke up yet. But she got over it after a while, and now she's kind of jolly too most of the time. But they're still lovable regardless. And I didn't tell who it was, so you all can't tell. Say, well, he said you were really grouchy of a morning. But it's one of the three. You take your pick, and you can guess probably, but that's okay. But I love them all three equal, and that's the same way God does us. He loves us all equal. Can you say amen? So we love God, and God loves us. So this is the day the Lord has made. So today we can be a new beginning. Start a new beginning in our life, and we can start all over and turn a leaf. And or we can still just say, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Did you ever speak to somebody and say, how you doing? Well, I'm just getting by. Well, I'm telling you, I know you're getting by. Or they'll say, oh, I'm here. Well, I can see they're here. And I know they're here because I see them. I didn't ask them if they were here or not because I could see them. But this is the way we as human beings are. If we're not careful, we get in a routine saying things that really don't even make sense. Right? How are you this morning? Huh. You ever have that done? Huh. I had one boss said, well, what's good about it? So, good Lord, he's in a grouchy mood. I don't think I'll speak to him the next morning, but, you know, God kindly gave me a little boldness, and next morning I spoke again. How are you this morning? Okay. Well, time I spoke to him several different times, he realized I wasn't going to give up, so he might as well just straighten his act up and act like somebody. And I said, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. Well, that's what I wanted to hear the first time. I wouldn't have had to waste my breath trying to get to that point, but that's the way God is probably with us. Wake up, say, where are you at, God? I had a rough night last night. Didn't you hear me when I was snoring, and you hear me when I was in pain and ache and screaming and crying? God heard you the first time. He knows exactly what was wrong in all of this. So I'll tell you, folks, we have to be persistent. We can't give up. How you doing this morning? I'm just hanging on. Well, what are you hanging on? You hanging on to the world? You hanging on to God? I'd rather hang on to God, hadn't you? He's more reliable. The world will let you down, but God won't. So when we lose our goal, we can lose a lot of different things, but still get the goal and the power, then the obstacles loom larger and larger. Now, remember in Solomon, we've been going that direction a little bit, and matter of fact, Brad taught on that in the youth service a little bit, but in 1 Samuel 11 and 16, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days, and you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about that big giant that lost his head. Did you ever see anybody, people say, boy, they've lost their head. Well, they still got their head on, but maybe they just wasn't acting like it was connected well. Well, he lost his head because David realized he wasn't going to put up with that. He's going to go out there and take care of him once and for all and put a stop to that big bully, and that's exactly what he was. So we're facing many obstacles that can seem to destroy us, and they seem to be some very, very great big obstacles in front of us. And we wonder, hey, are we going to make it? Can we do this? Can we do that? But the good part about it is, folks, you just need to realize who's on your side. God is on your side, and you're not a loser. You're a winner regardless. I don't know if I can make it to heaven or not. Well, you know what? You need to change your attitude. Say, well, by God's help, I'm going to do it. By the grace of God, I'm going to make it. Amen. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And hey, it's already written there, so I'm not going to let God down. I'm going to continue on to make sure that I make heaven my home. Devil, you might as well move over. You're not stopping me. You've been in my way. You've been trying to hinder me. You've been whispering lies for a long time. But it's time that you get thee behind me, Satan, once and for all. Don't let him get up in your face and argue and fuss with you and pick on you and accuse you. Oh, but look who you were. Look at all those bad things you did. Look at all of this. Well, if God don't remember them, why in the world should the devil remember them? He remembers them because he wants to start trouble and start getting you to where you start looking back yourself. Hey, I was that bad person. Yeah, but look where you came from. You're not back there anymore, so you're worshiping God, and God is helping you to do it. Do we understand the difference in our priorities? If we get our priorities straight, we're in pretty good shape. You take somebody that's paddling in a canoe. They don't rock that boat. You know why they don't? They know that little fellow will turn over real quick. I never had a desire to ride in a canoe. I've seen them, but I'm telling you, I've seen them turn over too. People will be out there and they'd be paddling. They get to moving. They think, well, I'm really good at this. All of a sudden, you see it capsize. And then they're trying to hang on to it for dear life and get back in, but they can't get back in because it's turned upside down. That's the way we are. We don't need to be rocking the boats because, hey, Jesus is our lifeboat anyway. Why in the world do we want to get out of the boat unless we're like Peter, going to walk on water? So if we're paddling the boat, let's just keep doing it. Keep paddling. So we're a very peculiar bunch of people. We're different. If you're not different, I wonder about your salvation. Because I want to tell you, folks, when you got saved, you asked Jesus to forgive you. What did he do? Huh? He forgave you, didn't he? Not only did he forgive you, but you became something that you could never become yourself. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Why? Because old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You look at things different. You don't jump up like you've been scolding a dog every morning. Get out of here, you sorry low-down dog, you mangy-looking critter. You get up, and that old dog may be a mangy-looking critter, but it's still, God created that dog too, so you don't have to be too mean to it. Scold it maybe, and don't want to rub on it or anything because it's got the mange or something, but still yet, God created that dog too, did he not? Did you ever think God looked down and thought, boy, I look like that mangy dog? No, we're not a mangy dog. We're a child of God, and God is helping to protect us. And he's going to take care of us, is he not? Do we understand that you can run away from your problems, or you think you can, but you really can't? You can't run away from your trials because you need to face them head on. You see, the world knows that God is our helper, but the world don't want us to get help. Why do we go to the doctors? We want help, right? Why do we come to Dr. Jesus? Huh? You say, he's not a doctor. Well, there's a whole lot of people got healed when he was here, well, didn't they? Somebody called me a doctor one day, and I said, I'm not a doctor. I said, you're a doctor of the word, aren't you? You provide the word, aren't you? Don't you? And I thought, well, yeah, but I'm still not a doctor. Well, he kind of argued the point, but I said, it don't make any difference whether you think I'm a doctor or not, but I'll try to doctor with the word. I'll give the word, and that should help everybody, right? So in 1 Samuel 17 and 48, and it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. Notice this right here, that David haste, and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't hesitate. He knew he was going to win. You see, there's a difference when we go to battle and we know we're going to win or if we have doubts. The good part about it, if you're serving God, you're going to win. Oh, I know the devil may think he's going to win a battle every once in a while, but you're going to win. In the end, you're going to win, and that's really all matters anyway. So we face the giant face to face, knowing that Jesus will live and more and, hey, have greater things for us. We go through trials because God wants to build us up into who he sees that we can become. not we see sometimes ourselves. But we need to deal with these things. We need to do our very best. So if you're dealt a good hand, fine. If you're not, you use what you got. If you get lemons, what do? You make lemonade out of them, right? So this is what you do. If you grab a shovel, let's start digging a well like Jacob did. So grab something and start working. And then John chapter 4 verse 6 says, and Jacob's well was there. Why was it there? It was because Jacob and his servants or his men dug the wells. They dug several wells, and the enemy came in and stopped some of them up and all of this. And that's what the devil wants to do, is stop them up. But notice the latter part of that. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, how could he sit on a well had it not been dug? There wouldn't have been any water there. But we need to dig wells of living water, not just the water that we drink. So part of our life, going through dry seasons, we go through dry seasons. Seem like our whole church has kind of been a little dry this morning. Can anybody say, oh me? Oh me. I can say, oh me. Why? Well, I don't know why, but these things happen. This is why we have to work harder sometimes to get things going. Sometimes that dry seems to last a long time, and then we know that we're in a drought. We don't need to be in a drought. We just need to get some rain, just like we did here the last few days. We've got quite a bit of rain. Thank God, things is getting dry. But there's a spiritual drought, and that spiritual drought can breed self-doubt and even more fear. Did you ever just get so dry that you felt like, good Lord, I just wished I could feel the Spirit of God more. I wished I could feel God's presence better. Well, the thing you need to realize, first of all, we need the faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then faith is something small, but it can grow into a big thing, right? So if we allow the faith of God to bloom in us and work in us and help us, God is going to help us to grow and do greater and mighty things. So when you think about, hey, we get dry, but we don't have to stay dry. And something else, people will say, well, you know, I feel God is so far away from me. Did you realize that God is not far from you? He's just a whisper away. You don't have to yell at him. You don't have to scream. You don't have to threaten him. Well, God, if you don't hurry up and move, I'm going to give up. I'm going to quit. Now, why in the world would you say something like that? Why would you say something to your Heavenly Father that you should just kind of zip your lip and keep your mouth shut and just whisper, thank you, Lord, I know you're near me today. Did you ever face something that you felt like was just about to take the breath out of you, and all of a sudden, you just kind of whispered, God, I need you really bad today. Would you kind of stick close to me? I'm facing a real hard trial, God. Now notice I lowered my voice, because you don't have to scream at God. God hears you when you have a good tone of voice. It's kind of like somebody trying to make you do something. Hey, you can't make anybody do something, right? In seasons of drought, we often forget we are in control. We're in control. We can get out of that drought. I heard on the news about a man driving one of these self-guiding, self-driving cars. Big improvement, man. I tell you what, everybody seemed to be wanting one until a few people gets killed in them. And he was supposed to be staying alert. So he was trusting this self-driving car, and he was not watching. And he ran under an 18-wheeler, and he died. I want to tell you something, folks. We can't blame others because we're not paying attention. If we're in the driver's seat, we're the one who has the wheel. I know your wife or your somebody in the back seat or whatever may try to tell you how to drive. But you're the one who has the wheel. You're the one in control. So you need to be very careful and cautious and make sure and all of this. You've seen that old commercial several years ago. This man and his wife driving down the road, and all of a sudden, she kept trying to tell him how to drive. He just jerked the steering wheel off and handed it to her. Well, I wouldn't advise that too well, but anyway, it was something comical, but still yet, a few times I've kind of thought about that. But I haven't done it yet because I don't think I could jerk it off. But if a door slams closed, folks, and it locks, why in the world you want to stand beat on that closed, locked door? Sometimes in your life, God closes doors in our life. There's things that there's doors you've been going in and out that door. You don't need to go in and out them anymore. There's people you've been dealing with and allowing them to control you. You don't need to do it anymore. So when God locks that door, that controlling one that's been controlling you for a long time, and he locks that door, why stand there and beat on that door and say, God, open this door, I can't get in. Well, don't even try to get in. But here's the thing about it. When he locks that door, he has another door just ready for you to walk in. Ooh, I feel the Lord right now. He has another door, and that door is unlocked. It's not locked, and he's just willing and ready for you to walk in. So why stand and beat on the same old locked door? Stop it. Stop it. God locked the door. Don't try to kick the door in. My goodness, enjoy walking through a new beginning. Walk through where God has opened this door to a newness of life and maybe even a new place or whatever it might be. But God has opened that door. Don't allow the devil to slam the door, because if God locks it, hey, you don't need it, right? So why in the world would we want to do it? Are you full of joy? Can you see and know that God's situation and every problem, pain and trial? We must walk by faith, folks, not by sight. We can't see the end from the beginning. We see the beginning, but we don't see the end. Everybody's telling me there's a heaven, and I know there's a heaven because I read it in the Word of God. And my name is already written up there, and I know there's a heaven. I can't see it. I know it's there. I've read about how pretty it is and beautiful and all of this. And I've also read about there's no devil ever going to be up there. It wasn't made for him. But there was one place was made for him, wasn't made for humans, and humans is trying to get in there to this place has had to enlarge its opening or its mouth because of the people that's following the devil. Well, where in the world is that, Brother Gordon? Well, it's a place called H-E-L-L, hell. And it's being enlarged. Its mouth's being enlarged every day because there's so many people following the devil, and they're going to wind up down there screaming and crying and begging to get out, but it's going to be too late. Today is the day of salvation. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You just need to make sure that you do it today. And in there, 2 Timothy talks about 2 and 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't study to show how knowledgeable you are, to show out all this brilliance you have and all of this. But what do? You study to show thyself approved unto God. And then why? Because be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right to divide in the word of truth. This is what we do, folks. We study not because we want to show people how smart we are and all of this, or to argue on the Bible and all this. But in John 14:1 says, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And this is Jesus talking about this. Folks, we're living in a time that there's pain, there's destruction, there's all kinds of stuff all around. We're not even safe in this old world. It's got so chaotic here in the last, well, it just gets worse and worse every day. But I read in the Word of God, this is going to happen. The Bible says perilous, meaning dangerous times, will come. And we're in some of the most dangerous times. You're not even safe anywhere you're at. People used to say, well, I'm safe in my home. I locked the doors. Well, I saw down in Florida they had their doors locked, but there's a big alligator, 11-foot alligator, just broke right through the window and come on in the house. So sometimes you're not even safe in your own house. An alligator might want to get you. And I'm talking about something worse than an alligator. I'm talking about the devil trying to destroy God's people. But the good part about it is, folks, he's always on our side. He's never going to fail us. He's never going to let us down. And whatever the devil throws out there, God is greater. He's bigger. He's more powerful. He loves us greater than anything else. So, hey, what's he going to do? He's going to take care of us. That's the good part about him. Sometimes our most trying times, kind of like the lion's den or the fiery furnace, the most trying times God proves himself to be bigger. Whatever you went through this week and you thought, I don't know if I can handle this or not. Well, I want to tell you something now. You can handle it with God's help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is a good part about it is, folks, we may be weak, but he's strong. He's powerful. He's good. He's kind. He's loving. And he's protecting. And I'm so thankful for what a great and a wonderful God we have. Aren't you? Sometimes these things, like the lion's den, oh, they may drive us to our knees. But sometimes we need to be back on our knees, down at the foot of the cross, calling out to God. That's where it all happened, down at the foot of the cross, where the blood was shed for you and I. Come to the music, please. Never forget what we know. But what do we really know? Well, Romans 8 and 28, I want to conclude with something like this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This is a good part about God. Well, let me just give you another scripture, Romans 4 and 18. Who against hope, believe in hope, that it might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And we know who he was talking about. He was talking about Abraham. Abraham's seed was great, and we do know that. There's three things that I want you to notice as they're getting their song ready. We have these three things to build on, and we can build on these. 1 Corinthians 13 and 3 says, and now abide faith, hope, and charity. Now notice these three right here. Faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity, which is love. The greatest thing we can have is love. We need faith, we need hope, but we also need charity. We need love. And we do know that God's character is love. If you love God, hey, he's a God of love, is he not? So we're worshiping a great and a wonderful God. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you at the end of your rope? Or feel like you are? You've tried so many things and you've tried so hard. And you feel like you're just out there and you can't go any farther. So what in the world am I going to do, Brother Gordon? I'm at the end of my rope. I'm ready to give. I can't see nothing but this trouble, heartache, and sorrow. So what can I do? How about trying hope? Hope in who? Hope in Jesus. How about trying Jesus? He said he'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He'd go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. Did he not? So why not try somebody that'll be with you and will take good care of you and all of this? So God will take good care of you. But you have to trust him and have hope in him. Would you stand all over the building, please, if you're able? What a great and a wonderful God we serve. If you're at wit's end, it'd be a good time right now just to come and lay it on the altar. Say, God, I've tried it. I need to lay it on the altar. I can't handle it. I'm at the end of my rope. Get some hope from Jesus. He'll help you. As they play and sing, the altar's open. Will you come? Will you come?